Last week, I was going to begin what I wanted to be a three-week series about our minds and how we think as followers of Jesus Christ. And I was going to take you to a passage in Psalm 119 where the psalmist says, when I think on my ways, well, let me back up a little bit. In verse 57 of Psalm 119, he says, the Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. And then, just two verses later, he says, when I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The psalmist had made this promise that I'm going to walk in your ways. I'm going to walk in the ways that you have shown me you want me to walk. And I don't know whether it was a short time or whether this was part of the same process or if it was someplace down the road, but he comes to a place where he begins to think on his ways. He begins to think about how he's living his life. He begins to think about the way he's living his life in light of the promise that he had made to keep your words and to live in obedience to your instructions. And he apparently came to the conclusion that there were some course adjustments that needed to be made, that he was not fully honoring the promise that he had made. And through thinking and meditating and just reflecting on his life, he discovered that he needed to turn his feet. I don't know whether that was a 10-degree turn or a 30-degree turn or a full 180, but he needed to adjust his steps. Before I came to Toms River back in 92, I was working for a Bible college and seminary down in South Carolina. And part of my job was visiting donors. And we had a lady who, she and her husband had, if I remember correctly, had owned a rather profitable shoe store in Augusta, Georgia. And they had retired and moved to Hilton Head. And they lived on one of the plantations there. And their home was right in a dog leg of the golf course. If you're a golfer, you know what that means. If you're not, it means that you tee off here, but the green is either over this way or over this way, and you gotta either be a really good golfer and cut the corner, or you gotta lay up and get around the corner one way or the other. And so all of these hotshot golfers come to Hilton Head to play golf, and they think they're Superman and they're going to be able to cut that dog leg. And they don't always accomplish that. Well, the rules are, if your ball lands in someone's yard, you lose the ball. You don't go in their yard to get the ball. So I'm sitting there visiting with this lady, and she knew that my boss, who was the vice president of the college and seminary, was a golfer. She said, does John still play golf? And I said, yes, ma'am, he does. And she said, come with me. So she took me in the back bedroom, and she opened the bottom drawer of a chest of drawers, and it was full of golf balls. I mean, just full of golf balls that maybe had only been hit two or three times, maybe even just one time. And she just goes out every day at the end of the day, and she picks up however many golf balls landed in her yard because these hotshot golfers were not able to cut that dog leg. All they would have needed to do was adjust their steps, to turn my feet just a little bit and go on down the fairway and then go around the dog leg. They didn't want to do that. And so they lost the balls. And I was the big man on campus for several weeks because I was doling out golf balls to all the guys on the faculty and staff that played. And they were dropping by my office far more frequently than they usually did. And until the golf balls were gone, and then I didn't see them anymore. That was okay. But the idea is that the psalmist is thinking about his ways. He's not just on automatic. He's not just going however the flow of life takes him. He is actively engaged in thinking about his life in relation to his promises to walk in the ways of God. So let me move from that. There was a lot more I would have said about that, but we'll move on to the text for today, which is from Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, going down through verse 4. Would you hear the word of God? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. As is common in most of Paul's church epistles, he begins from a theological or doctrinal perspective, and about halfway through each of those letters, he shifts gears and goes into a more practical mode. How does all of this theology and this doctrine play out in everyday life? The problem for the Colossian church was the infiltration within their church of false teachers who were trying to impose some philosophies and some practices and some thinking that was going to bring them to a place of severe legalism, a place where Christianity became nothing more than just keeping the rules rather than living a life that was honoring to Christ. He has told them in chapter 2 that in verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. He says you've been made alive, you've received Christ, you have discovered the difference that Jesus Christ makes in your life. So don't let these false teachers rob you of the blessings that you have found in Jesus Christ. So then he comes to chapter 3, the passage that we've just read, and he talks to us about our minds and about the focus of our lives and about how we live if we have been raised with Christ. And I just can't read that line of Colossians 3:1, if you have been raised with Christ, without going back to Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, speaking about baptism, that we have been buried with him in the likeness of his death, and we have been raised to walk in the newness of life. He has raised us up from our spiritual deadness and given us life in Jesus Christ. And now he says that there is a premise by which we are to live our lives if, in fact, this is true. If we have been raised with Christ, then seek those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul says that if we have, in fact, been raised with Christ, if we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, that just changes everything. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we look at life. It changes what's important to us. It changes how we relate to people. It just changes everything. And Paul says, if you have been raised with Christ, then your focus, your attention is turned away from the things of this world and drawn to the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I've heard for years the old idea that some people are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. And there's probably some truth to that. Paul is not asking us to be like that. In fact, beginning in verse 5 and going through most of the rest of of chapter 3 and into 4, he's going to tell us not all, but a number of the practical implications of living with a heavenly mindset, with an eternal mindset. He's going to tell us how that plays out, how that lives out in day-to-day life. So he's certainly not asking us to be so heavenly-minded that we are no earthly good. On the contrary, he is asking us to be so heavenly-minded that we can be of good on earth. That our focus on Christ and on things eternal will play out in ways that enable us, in the words of Jesus, to be salt and light in a world that so desperately needs it. So his premise is, if you have been raised with Christ, then your life's changed. Your focus is changed. Your attitudes are changed. Your direction in life has changed. Your purpose for life has changed. It doesn't mean that you're going to change jobs, or it doesn't mean that you're going to change careers. It doesn't mean that you're not going to marry and have families and raise children and enjoy grandchildren and all of the things that are part of life. But you do all of that with a different focus because you have been raised with Christ. He tells us how that kind of plays out in practice a little bit in verse 2, where he says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Again, going back to Romans, Paul talks about the old life and the new life. He says, you've died to the power of sin. You have died to the way things were before Christ. You have been made alive. You have been made new in Christ Jesus. And everything's changed. And so, instead of being consumed with the things of this world, set your minds on things that are above. I will confess to you that I am not sure how we always how we do that. We get up in the morning, and for me, I stumble to the coffee maker, and once the coffee is made, I can begin to function. And pretty much my schedule is the same every week. I teach Bible study on Tuesdays. I make hospital calls through the week. I preach on Sundays. I have a bulletin to prepare that needs to be ready by Thursdays for the services on Sunday, and I need to go to the dry cleaner, and I need to go to the bank. Well, you know, I don't go to the bank anymore. I have an app for that. I can't even remember the last time I walked in the door of a bank. I can deposit checks right from my phone. I don't think they did that with those old phones, Libby. I'm not sure that would have worked. And life goes on. But somehow, in all of that mix of the things that are life, the apostle exhorts us to be thinking about heaven, to be thinking about that which is eternal, to not become so distracted with a life that is not going to continue that we forget about life that is not going to end. I have had the privilege of traveling to some different parts of the world, and I think the places that have impacted me the most probably were North Africa and Israel. A level of in North Africa of poverty that I've not seen any place else I've ever been. A level of isolation from the truth of the gospel that I've never seen any place else I've ever been. A place where I was the outsider. You know, I walk around in America and I'm just an old white guy like a bunch of old other white guys. And I fit in. And boy, you drop me down in North Africa where most of the people are Arabic and they're dark and they have dark hair and they have brown eyes, and I just kind of stick out like that. And it was a little uncomfortable. Well, the truth of the matter is that as followers of Jesus Christ, in this life, we are the aliens. Will Willman and Stanley Hauerwas, who both at that time were at Duke University Divinity School, wrote a book maybe 30 years ago called Resident Aliens. And he was talking about the fact that all of us who are followers of Jesus are aliens in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is our home. This is our pilgrimage. This is that foreign land that we journey in until we go home. Paul says, because that is true, practice every day setting your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Because that's home, and that's what will last forever. And that's where our hearts should be. The premise is, if you've been raised with Christ, you need to think differently. The daily practice of that is that we choose on a day-by-day basis with different kinds of spiritual disciplines to focus our minds on those things that are eternal and not allow them to get lost in the busyness of everyday life here on earth. But then he gives us also a promise in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life. You see, if our minds are focused, if we are actively choosing to set our minds on things that are above, we will increasingly become aware of the fact that Christ really is our life. Paul said it in Galatians this way, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am who I am. You are who you are as followers of Jesus because Christ is our life. The scripture that we read from Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to be those who understand that we have life because we have Jesus. And he will appear. He will come again. And when he does, we will appear with him. We will be home. I didn't used to think an awful lot about heaven. I was listening to Libby teach those kids. And they were from probably sixth grade down to the little blonde over here on the end was just a tiny, 4 years old. Okay, tiny little girl. And she was, I thought, I don't know if I could ever have contorted myself into the position she was on, sitting there on that floor with her knees under her. I thought, my goodness, I would break in three pieces at least. But those kids don't think about heaven. They're thinking about their friends this afternoon, and they're thinking about tomorrow, and they're thinking about school, and they think anybody over 30 is old. But
I find myself thinking more and more and more about heaven, about home, about the end of the journey. We have a gentleman at the Pines who will be 99 in December, but he will not live to be that, to make that birthday. He's been on dialysis for several years. He's 98 years old. He lost his wife back in December of last year. And he was doing dialysis just so she would not have to be alone, and he's gone another 8 or 10 months without her. They've been married for just 75 years. And I visited with him yesterday, and he said, I just decided it's time to stop and let God do whatever God is going to do. He's thinking about home. He's thinking about real home, eternal home, a home that never needs repairs, a home that never needs fixing, a home that never needs upgrades. He's thinking about exactly what Paul said we should think about. Set your minds on things above. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. How you think, what you think about, how carefully you set your minds will determine the course of your life. We think about stuff, we want to get stuff. We think about work, that's going to be where our energy is. We have to live this life, we have to be engaged in this life, but above all of that, and preeminently above that, we are to set our minds on things that are above. If in fact we have been raised with Christ, with the assurance that He will appear and we will appear with Him. Father, would You take Your Word today and use it in each of our lives as You see fit for Your glory and our good. I pray in Jesus' name.